You're listening to the most significant voice in Black America. This is the Roland Martin Show on the Empowerment Radio Network.
Today is Tuesday, January 27th, 2015, and this is the Roland Martin Show. Glad to be with you on this day. No matter where you're listening, I hope you are doing well, whether it is on your radio, in your car, at home, at work, if you're listening online to the TuneIn radio app, does not matter. Just glad that you are with us and joining us on this day for another 3 hours of great stimulating conversation, discussions that often ignored other places, but certainly not here on this show. And, you know, yesterday we talked about the incoming blizzard, if you will, affecting the Northeast. Well, that's somewhat fizzled out. They canceled the alert there in New York. And let me tell you something. First of all, the people in Boston, Massachusetts, greatly affected. But it is always hilarious. And yes, I know when you talk about these storms, you don't want to use words hilarious because there could be a loss of life and also property. But the media goes absolutely crazy. I mean crazy when storms affect New York City. Here's the deal, folks. You got to understand, okay? That is, New York is the media capital of the world. And so the New York executives, essentially, if their lives are impacted, that means we get to have wall-to-wall coverage unlike anything you've seen elsewhere. And I made this point yesterday, and I still contend that if this storm was hitting the Midwest, the Southwest, the Southeast, the West, any other part of the country, you would not see the kind of saturation you're seeing all day, every day. I mean, you know, you're not going to see it. And so that's what happens. You know, it's a joke. And what's even more of a joke is you sit here and you see all of these reporters standing out in the snow, shoveling snow, making mounds, driving around. And I love this. We're going to go out in the snow to tell you to stay at home and for you not to go out in the snow. And so then you see the anchors, and so they've got, you know, the breath. You can see their breath, and as they speak, and their teeth are chattering, and it is, oh my goodness, you know, it's cold out here, you know, and you see the snow flurries, and you're going home. Really, I can see that. I don't need you to sit out there. It's also stupid, and I'm sorry, I don't care. It's the same thing. It's stupid when there was a hurricane. Okay, I don't need you. I don't need to see you as a reporter getting thrown around by the wind, and you're somehow anchored to a tree just to tell me and show me that, oh, guess what? It's really windy outside. Really? Oh, my goodness. I couldn't tell based upon that oak tree being whipped around like it was a noodle, but I couldn't tell. I really needed you to stand out there and show me yourself that it's windy. I mean, this to me is utter insanity. And if you're going to look at me, if you're going to tell me, hey, Roland, I need you to go outside and freeze your butt off to tell everybody at home it's freezing. Nah, I'll pass. I'll pass. And that's exactly what it is. I'm telling you, I sit there and I watch that nonsense. First of all, I don't even watch it. I don't. Okay. I don't need to see somebody freezing their butts off for me to go, wow, really cold outside. So, you know, excuse me for being so cynical, but I know a lot of y'all thinking the exact same thing. Y'all just sitting here saying, but this is about the dumbest thing I have ever seen in my life. I don't understand what in the world these folks are doing. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. So, again, I'm glad folks are safe. It's not as bad as it was projected. And look, and I understand you have to make the orders, people to stay home off the highways with the flight cancellations, because you simply don't know. But I just think it's a perfect example of absolute media overkill on one of these stories. I mean, it is insane. It is insane when you literally look at the amount of attention given to the story, and you swear nothing else is going on in the world. You swear this is the most important thing happening in the world. I mean, that was a drone that somehow made its way over the White House fence. Think about that for a second. You want to talk about major story? That's a security issue. But not just that, and this is where these personal drones are coming into play. What happens when they invade your backyard? When they go over your property fence line? When somebody has a drone with a camera on it, and it's looking at your kids as they play? Or you, when you're doing something where you think that you are protected in its privacy, then you discover it's really not. Oh, I'm just saying that particular story. I mean, it's a slow media week, so news week. So why shouldn't the media give a little attention to Nigeria and what's happening there? Oh, I'm just saying, just saying. See, it comes down to priorities. It comes down to what's most important. And look, we led with it yesterday, but it wasn't my entire TV One news show. I had other stuff I talked about. But it just gets to be overkill. And trust me, as somebody who's been in the media professionally since 1991, someone who studied media since I was 14, it's just nonsensical when to sit there and watch it and watch reporters be idiotic, just lose their minds when it comes to lots of this coverage. I just sit there and just shake my head saying, boy, look at that fool out there. And so I let me tell you something. I have lots of friends who used to work in the business who now are doing other things. And trust me, they say, Roland, that's the one thing I do not miss. And that is going out and doing those stupid things. I remember Paul Mooney had a comedy routine where he talked about that. And I'm telling you, it was absolutely hilarious when he was breaking it down. But it's just so true. It's just so true. So anyway, that's how it goes. Hope everyone is safe. Take care of yourself. Don't get all caught up in all of the drama. Just keep doing you and not worry about it. But if you need to, just laugh at my fellow brothers and sisters in the media, because, yes, we sometimes go way overboard with some of this nonsense. Lots of things I want to talk about today. First on the show, I'm going to be chatting with Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. every Tuesday right here on the show. We're going to talk with Reverend Jackson about initiatives that he is working on, what he's doing, and what he is working on. So we will do that. Also on the show, we're going to hear from Deborah Owens. She is America's wealth coach. And we're going to talk about trying to get you right financially. Because let me tell you something. If there's one thing that really bugs me to death, is the fact that we are not as more financially literate as we should be. Because I just think there are some critical things that we need to always constantly focus on when it comes to saving our money, when it comes to budgeting, when it comes to investing, because far too many of us are in a situation where if there is a slight disruption in the income in our households, then everything goes to pot. Everything. Everything. And so Deborah is fantastic at being able to give you sound, practical advice to get your life in order. And so you're going to have an opportunity to also ask her questions, to get her take on what's going on. And again, I know you have questions, and this is about education. This is about empowering. This is about getting people to understand that they can actually change their life. You may have been one of those folks who really didn't worry about, you know, financial issues. But now your kid's going to college and you're freaking out. You don't know how to pay for it. And so you can give us a call, 888-669-2281, 888-669-2281, to ask Deborah questions. She'll be with us. And so I want you guys to be able to chat with her. Also, I'm going to deal today with Josh Gordon of the Cleveland Browns. Reports came out that he likely will be suspended for a year for drug use by the NFL. And Charles Barkley made some comments where Barkley said that he lost his brother at 42 from drug use. And he said, look, this is going to end badly. But it's real interesting because, I mean, here's a kid from Houston, Texas. I mean, ridiculous talent. He's likely costing himself $50 to $100 million because he can't stop using weed. He can't stop drinking alcohol. Costing himself $50 to $100 million because he can't stop using weed. He can't stop drinking alcohol.
Global news from a trusted source. This is the Roland Martin Show on the EO Network.
Global news from a trusted source. This is the Roland Martin Show on the Empowerment Radio Network.
Fifteen after the hour. Welcome back. Roland Martin here. Glad to be with you. Hope all is well where you are. We, of course, every Tuesday on the show, we have a standard feature. That is Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr., founder of Rainbow Push, will be joining us, talking the latest and politics, culture, things that he is involved in. And so we are be chatting with him shortly, trying to get him on the phone right now, and looking forward to that. And also, folks, you can always give us a call, 888-669-2281, 888-669-2281. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be chatting with Deborah Owens, America's Wealth Coach, and answering your questions when it comes to your money. Now is Reverend Jackson. Reverend, how you doing? Reverend, you there?
Indeed, I am.
All right. Certainly glad to talk with you. So Reverend, what do you focus on this week?
Well, two things. One, we're just leaving Silicon Valley. We are pressing for more scholarships, direct grants for HBCUs, engineering and STEM scholarships. We think they should be comparable to athletic scholarships. Secondly, the issue is they made a plan with 2020 commitments for their jobs vertically and horizontally reflect the marketplace. And thirdly, setting aside capital for investment in startups. And we want the other companies to replicate what Intel has done. That's one side. The other is the issue of the movie Selma. Oh, great dramatic acting and shows some of the pain and reason. But by Beyond the Bridge role, Beyond the Bridge was 25 years of gerrymandering, annexation, at-large role person, which has left voting implementation in the hands of the former oppressors. Now they have control of the state legislature in the South. They're now trying their best to take it back. Fort Valley State, for example, they don't have a voting booth on their campus, 2,000 students. It's important. They're using voter IDs. So the Voting Rights Act, as we know it, is in jeopardy beyond the bridge.
One of the things I want to go back to when you talked about the Silicon Valley Project, I mean, it is critical. It is really critical to have that relationship with these HBCUs because you have to create the pipeline when it comes to talent.
Well, they've not been scouting these schools for talent. They said they can't find black engineers. Well, A&T and Howard and Morgan State and Tennessee State and Southern University, they're in the black engineer teaching business, and they have not been even pursuing those schools, but they are now. What I'm trying to get them to do is to invest in those schools and tighten up their infrastructure and expand the number of scholarships for STEM education and the number of scholarships for engineering, and then a pipeline for those schools, the Silicon Valley, and a pipeline for access to capital. Because once you learn how to do the schemes of apps and codes and incubators, you need money to get off the ground. And our guys tend not to have that money, but it does exist.
Reverend, Intel made their huge announcement, their investment. Are there any other companies who are stepping up, who are going to match what they're doing?
They will be, and that's why we're having to be specific on the follow-through. That's one reason why the other companies that we over-index in cannot match Intel or even go beyond. So whether it's Microsoft or Apple or eBay or Facebook or Twitter, we're challenging all of them to match up with a plan, make their employment vertical and horizontal look like the marketplace, and then rolling beyond technical STEM education, 70% of the jobs are non-tech in the first place. Lawyers, ad agencies, marketing, advertising, pipe media, truck drivers, construction, a whole range of things beyond just that. People use these schemes to mark us out as we had a talent deficit. The fact is we have an opportunity.
What has been the response from the HBCUs? How are they positioning themselves to take advantage of this relationship, of this potential partnership with Silicon Valley?
Well, they're the right. People like Dr. Harvey at Hampton, Dr. Martin at North Carolina A&T, they're the right because all of a sudden they're getting a fresh breath of air. Congress, in fact, they can be a big difference. We will be talking more to HBCU presidents because, and Howard, and Morehouse and Florida, and them. These schools are fully capable of being quote unquote mission schools. And just as these undergrads are kind of ground level work for the professor analytics, there's a piece of engineering and for STEM education as well.
Obviously, the jobs is one aspect. Obviously, the scholarships are another. Are they also, these companies, are you also pushing them to develop HBCU-specific marketing campaigns where they are utilizing existing HBCU graduates in their outreach, in their commercials, to be able to target those schools and those students?
And that's the point. Black community represents market, money, talent, location, plus relationships. We target those areas, market, money, talent, location, relationship. We change the role for them. We don't need to be in the HBCU students from foreign countries. We have Americans who are trained. We have an excess of talent in some areas that's not even being recruited. We intend to change that. That's what we're not going to turn the project loose.
So when you talked about the supplier diversity part, that to me is also critical. That jumped out at me in the Intel announcement because it's real easy, Reverend, for companies to say we're going to supply, we're going to offer scholarships or internships or entry-level positions, but the supplier diversity piece, growing minority businesses and doing big business with them, as opposed to, well, we're going to hire several people at $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year.
Well, it means advertising in the radio and TV One, and Ebony and Jet, and Black Enterprise at ENNP, it means strengthening existing Black institutions. That's important. It means that there are tremendous number of young Blacks who have skill sets for incubators and development. They cannot get the capital to turn that curve. And so part of the Intel money that we set aside for an intern investment company, and we want those other companies to match Intel in terms of investment target for first-time startups. If they say that we're not risk-worthy, we're not credit-worthy, then we're not worthy. We must have access to credit and investment in order to be able to grow.
Reverend, I want to ask you about another particular story. Michael Fletcher of the Washington Post, the economics correspondent, did a piece that dealt with Prince George's County, and it dealt with the housing crisis and how much Black wealth has been lost as a result. And one of the things that I have been consistently saying, and I've been very critical specifically of the Obama administration in terms of the failure of their housing initiatives, this is huge for us because that's where most Americans create their wealth. And so what do you see as necessary when it comes to the issue of housing?
Targeting investment. You know, we are targeting the banks and bailing them out, but not linking them in another reinvestment. In Chicago, part of the crisis there is when you close 50 public schools and you close through the drugstores and grocery stores, 80,000 abandoned homes or vacant lots. Detroit, 100,000. That drives the first-time home business person into poverty. That, therefore, the evidence is the black middle class is sinking. The poverty rate is expanding. There is that, who is Secretary of Hood? I mean, does that even exist anymore? That was on the LBJ, HUD, on the Weaver, Secretary of HUD, and Pat Harris was a big deal. And of course, appointing Thurgood Marshall, that's why I'm so strong on LBJ. You appointed Thurgood Marshall, the foremost civil rights lawyer in the country, the Supreme Court, and with a prominent African American over HUD, House and Urban Development.
And so one of the things that there have been housing programs, but as we're seeing black home ownership has been hurt significantly, and one of the things that even Elizabeth Warren said before she became U.S. Senator, it will take at least two generations for African Americans to be able to recoup that money
we lost. We lost 2 million homes, and there is no plan for reconstruction. We lost 2 million homes. And I said, 80,000 homes in Chicago, 100,000 in Detroit. These are huge, 4,000 in Milwaukee. These are huge numbers of people just destroyed by the system because the banks, without oversight by the Congress, engaged in subprime lending and predatory lending. And they wiped us out. And then they went down with us, but they got bailed out. And we remain locked out. We need direct. We need a development bank, a domestic world bank. The domestic does what the banks are saying. That they can no longer lend in the area that they destroyed. So if we're investment unworthy and credit unworthy, we're in the tech economics unworthy. That's when these urban cities, nothing is happening. There's no reconstruction. There's no recovery in the heart of these inner cities because of the lack of a program.
All right. Well, Reverend, final comment before we go.
Somebody say Twitter at Rev. J. Jackson. Like me on Facebook, Reverend Jess, I can see you. Let's keep fighting back. Deep water does not drown you. Drown because you stop kicking. Don't stop kicking. Keep hope alive.
All right, Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr., we sure appreciate it. Thank you so very much. I will chat with you next Tuesday. Folks, coming up next, we're going to talk with Deborah Owens, America's Wealth Coach. We're also taking your questions. If you have questions when it comes to saving, investing, what to focus on, she will take your phone calls, 888-669-2281, 888-669-2281. This is Roland Martin.
This is the Roland Martin Show.
Hello, if some have lead, well, I'm not selling Remy Milky Way, also very other many products. I listen to Roland Martin every morning on the Empowerment Radio Network.
This is the Roland Martin Show.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Roland Martin Show. Glad to be with you. Let's just cut to the chase. When it comes to a lot of us, we are absolutely clueless about money. The number of folks who will admit to their parents never talking to them about money, never having real honest conversations about money is significant. And what that leads to, it leads to a generation of people who have no clue about money. And what happens is they grow up, they get married, and they make the exact same mistakes as their parents. And then all of a sudden, the cycle continues. And then folks don't want, I don't want to talk to somebody, I don't want nobody in my business, but then all of a sudden you broke as hell and we all in your business. And so I'm a firm believer in trying to get people to straight, get them to understand what we must do. And so for the next hour, we're going to be chatting with Deborah Owens, America's Wealth Coach, taking your phone calls as well, because look, you don't have an opportunity to ask a lot of folks when it comes to money. Well, now you get an opportunity. You have a question, something that you were trying to figure out what to do with your tax refund check. You're trying to figure out when it comes to college for your kid. You're trying to figure out, should you take another job? Should you take out a second mortgage? Well, give us a call, 888-669-2281, 888-669-2281. And so let's get with it and talk with Deborah right now. So, Deborah, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Roland. I'm excited. I'm excited about being here on your show. You know, I love talking about money. We've been doing this for years. What many people don't know is I've known Roland so long, and we would be at NABJ conferences, and we were talking about money and investments back in the day. I was an advisor, and Roland would have to shut me up talking about investing. But more importantly, that's what I always admired about you. You've always given me a platform to talk about something we've been talking about for 20 years, and unfortunately, it hasn't gotten better. I mean, it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. And so I believe a lot of the reason for that, Roland, really are things are so complicated now. I mean, we're going through what I call a new financial normal. And that new financial means that we're responsible for everything now. So we've, you know, the days of working for that employer, being able to retire, get a pension check that was set and you didn't have to worry about it, gone. Now, you have defined contribution plans or 401ks. You're responsible for not only putting the money in, but now you even have to figure out where to invest it. And what I know to be true is most folks don't even know the difference between a stock, bond, or mutual fund. And so this really is about encouraging folks to get knowledgeable. I mean, it's cool to see a financial advisor. But, you know, I coach a lot of financial advisors, and I refer business to some of them. And the only way I refer business is if your integrity is right. But what I know about advisors, they're always put in a difficult situation, because how do you explain or recommend something to somebody? And Adam, and it's like the three little monkeys, see no, hear no, say no. And you know they don't know the first thing of what you're talking about. And then when they leave, the first time the stock market goes down, they're on the phone calling the advisor saying, I want to sell, I'm afraid. And what I know to be true, Roland, is the way that you conquer fear is with knowledge.
One of the things that also jumps out is you have folks who, I mean, you're right, they're going, I don't know what I'm even looking at. I have no idea. Look, I saw there's people who were business reporters who covered this stuff, and they're going, man, this is just way too many choices. But before we get to that, let's deal with the basic thing.
Okay.
You mentioned the new normal, and I said this on CNN back in 2009, 2010, and it was really interesting because people were saying, okay, wow, that sounds real basic, but it was basic, and you talk about the new normal. And what I said is that we lived a false economy for 30-plus years. And what has happened now is folks have now been forced to make real decisions, and that is, you know what, I can't afford that now. Let me get something cheaper, or I'm going to wait for it. And so I think a lot of this, when we talk about dealing with money, I think the first thing I want to talk about right now is confronting your expectations. And that is understanding that, sure, I could spend more money to get that Chrysler 300C. But you know what? I should learn to be happy and content with that Corolla. I had a guy who I worked with him at CNN. They came to Chicago and to install some stuff in my office at WVON Radio. And we didn't have time to call him a cab to go to the airport at all. So we go outside. He goes, whoa. So we get in the car. He says, you know, I would have thought you would have had a BMW or Mercedes. I said, why? He said, well, you know, between CNN and the radio show, and I'm sure you're making the money. And he always was trying to get my business when it came to my money. But I said, let me explain something to you. This car is going to get you to the airport. It got four wheels. I said, it gets a great gas mileage. And I said, and I don't care what somebody else thinks. And I don't care what they will think if they see me driving the Corolla. And so how do we start getting people to understand that you have to stop making decisions based upon what somebody else thinks about you when it might be too much house, too much car, too much whatever for you?
Yeah, well, you know, I explained that, Roland, as changing your mindset, right? So what we've bought into is this income, and the way I like to explain it is this way, is poverty-minded people, they manage their money day to day if they can just make it through the day. poor people week to week. Ooh, you know, as soon as they get that money, that check is gone. And in fact, we saw some statistics that show that in the African-American community, our money doesn't even turn over. We just spend it. Nobody else in the community gets any benefit out of it, right? Middle class people, month to month. You know, you're even sold things month to month, and you talk about affordability, people telling you what you can afford as a car or how much house you can afford. No, you get to make that decision. And the fact is that wealthy people, very affluent people, they think long term. They think about next year, 10 years from now, and really wealthy people, they think generation to generation. And the difference in that, Roland, really is this. It's the ability to think about the long-term implication of the decision that you're making right now. Right? So when you have that income mindset, you begin to buy into this whole theory of, oh, well, if I can, you know, they looked at my credit and they said I could afford this. No, at the end of the day, you can afford anything that you want, you know, provided you can pay that note, but it's not about paying a note. Okay, here's the deal. Here's the real thing. As an advisor, and I advised people for over 10 years with Fidelity Investments, and I will tell you that my wealthiest clients, you never would have known it. They didn't drive up in Cadillacs. They didn't drive up in Mercedes. They had khakis on. And what I would say is that I think we got to flip the script, Roland. We have to begin to understand that generally, if people are riding it or wearing it, they probably don't have anything in the bank. And so I think we have to talk about this new financial normal. We have to begin to measure our success based on when we can quit working and we can make our money work for us. Now, that to me is, and we talk about this all the time, that's peace of mind. That's not buying a house based on having the big mortgage so that you can get a tax write-out. You got to spend a dollar to save three, right? You got to save 30 cents. When we need to be thinking about how can we accelerate our payments? How can we get to the point? I will tell you this, Roland, the people who were most prepared at retirement didn't have a mortgage. So we need, you know what? Here's what I want folks to understand. You did everything they told you to do. You went to college, you got that degree, you got that professional job, you're making six figures, and yet none of it is turning into wealth. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because you're spending, not only are you spending that six figures, but you're spending even more than that. And that's what we've got to be real about, Roland.
I had, so you talk about clothes. And I remember having this conversation with this guy, and he was telling me about his, you know, $1,000 suit, $700 shoes, shirts cost $100, $200. And actually, when I saw him, he looked like a clown. He looked like a clown. I mean, I'm like, really? And I tell people, it's funny. People always ask me this. They always, I got all these dudes around the country. I'm telling you, and it's they want me, man. I want to do your suits. Now they're coming up to me saying, man, you always clean. I want to do your suits. And I'm going, so why am I going to pay you? Why am I going to pay you $1,500, $2,000 for a suit? When if I think back, I don't think I've ever spent more than $300 for a suit because, one, it's not necessary. And folks all the time, I said, I can put the outfit together. And as I think about it, I ain't never spent $100 on a pair of shoes. For one pair of shoes. There's no way in the world I would spend $7,500 on a tie. My point there is, you can look clean and not have to sit here and break a bank account. And so I need to deal with my. See, I think before we talk about investing,
yes,
we got to deal with mindset first. And so, folks, we come back with Deborah Owens. Give me a call, 888-669-2281, 888-669-2281. We're talking money on the Roland Martin Show. Back in a moment.
We'll be back with the Roland Martin Show after these important messages on Black America's News Talk and Information Station.
When there's real justice we need.
Giving you the play-by-play every day on Black America's News Talk and Information Station. This is the Roland Martin Show on the Empowerment Radio Network.
888-669-2281. We're talking money with Deborah Owens. If you have any questions for her, give us a call. And I was talking about mindset, and because I believe it starts there. When I was in St. Kitts over the holidays, I was talking with this couple. The husband's he's a doctor. Wife is an entrepreneur. And we got talking about kids. We got talking about, you know, and I was telling them about when I walk into the house, my niece has got to give me a hug. I don't care what they're doing. And he was like, you know, he started thinking about it. So that led to other stuff. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I said to him was, I said, you need to explain to your kids what stuff costs. So I told them when I bought my nieces their MacBook computers, I said, this is the most expensive thing you've ever held in your hands. It's not a toy. And so I began to walk them through. And I began to talk about other things as well. And so I remember when I told them, I said, I cut back on, my wife used to take my six nieces out to eat after church. And I stopped it. I stopped it because, with the amount of money we were paying for their tutors, because getting them caught up academically and everything else. And I said, I'm sorry, that's 180, 200 bucks every Sunday times 4 times 12. And I began to walk them through. And I would say, do y'all know how this costs almost $200? Multiply that by 4, that's $800. Multiply that by 12, that's almost $10,000. And this doctor literally said, he said, I never did that. I said, I think you have to teach your kid, this is what this costs. And I think the mistake that parents are making is that by not sharing with their children the real term cost as a child, they don't understand that mindset and why you must take care of it and why I'm actually doing it. And then when they become an adult, then they're not really conscious of that.
Well, you know, I would take it even further, Roland. I mean, one of the things that I did with my kids is they got an allowance. Half went into a bank account, half they got to spend. And, you know, me being an investment, most of it went into mutual funds. Then when they started working at 5 years old, they were a lifeguard, soccer coach. They were making some serious money. I mean, my son was making $25 a game. And, you know, he accumulated enough money, and I said, well, you should think about putting that in an IRA. And he was like, oh my God, everything I do, you make me do. And funny thing is, he went and he was talking to a friend on swim team, and the friend was talking about how he had opened up an IRA. And then he came back and says, oh, you know what, that IRA, that sounds pretty good. And I only say that to not only do we need to show them how much it costs, but they need to earn it. It's just something about when you earn something and then you spend your money on it, that you begin to give your kids a real sense of value. Now, I'm not here to make judgment in terms of whether you should pay an allowance or not. I feel like it's a great way to teach kids about money. I think the other thing that I've had friends do is actually get a check register, right? Where, you know, old school. I mean, that I think is the problem. We're so removed from money. When I was a youngster, I got an allowance, but I got that cash in my hand and then I put it in a piggy bank, right? I think it is important that in order for us to break this generational curse of poor money management, that we have to begin to give our kids some real experiences around money and what it costs. And I do applaud you for breaking down the numbers, because I think oftentimes we're putting out $200 and we don't realize that $200, it's not the value of it today. That $200, if you were to work it, and that $200 a month, think about $10,000 over 10 years. That's $100,000. $100,000 over $10,000 a year invested in a mutual fund, averaging in a year. Let's say it doubles every 6 years. That's $200,000. So, you know, let's break that down. $200 is $200,000 if we're willing to put off today for what it can be tomorrow. And that's what I mean by shifting from an income to a wealth mindset. We talk about often in my book, Nickel and Dime Your Way to Wealth. I just updated that book. That book is a true story. Parking attendant never made more than $12 an hour. And when I wrote the original book in 2004, I sat down with him, and he had his portfolio was worth $400,000+. When I just updated that book last year, that portfolio is now approaching $1 million. Now, why did that happen, Roland? It happened because he worked at a bank, and he simply watched what the wealthy people did and what the working people did. Okay, every week, cash they check, boom. He didn't see him again until they cashed another check. Wealthy people, they would go into their safe deposit box if they needed a loan, or they would be putting more certificates in, and they would come in at all different times of the month. You know, they would get dividend checks that they would come in and deposit. Now, this man who waited, he was 21 before he graduated from high school. You know what he had going for him, really, Roland, was he didn't know enough to be afraid. You know, I know many people listening to this program, you got double degrees, you got bachelor's, you got master's, and you're going to listen to this stuff that we're talking about on this radio, and you're going to think yourself out of it. You're going to go through analysis paralysis. You're going to hear me talk about this Nickel and Dime Your Way to Wealth book. You know, by the way, if you want to go to my website, DeborahOwens.com, you can sign up for resources and newsletters and, you know, books and all kinds of tools. But all of our folks act like books are kryptonite.
But here's the deal. But it's not, to me, it's not just kids. So well, my parents, I was talking to them. This had to be at least 5 years ago. So I was talking to my dad. He was talking about my mom was going to retire. Okay. I didn't quite understand why, but okay, fine.
Okay.
They were 62 or whatever. Okay, whatever. My dad looked at what he was getting from his railroad retirement, and there's a certain amount of money he can continue to earn where it doesn't affect that. So, okay, fine. So he decides to live off of railroad retirement. Okay, fine. That's your call. All right. So they were looking to move, and so I said, well, look, versus y'all getting a small, because the apartment we were in was small, versus getting a small apartment, why don't y'all just move from Houston to Dallas so you can live in my home? It's so, okay, finally did that. So, and I get this call one day, and they said, hey, you know, we're thinking about in the front bedroom, bathroom, we're thinking about, you know, doing a stand-up shower. And I'm going, okay. I'm like, you know, I was kind of like, whatever, I don't live there. So then I hung the phone up, and I thought about it for about 5 minutes, and so I called back. And I said, no, I'm vetoing that decision.
How you going to veto your...
Because it's my house. It's my house.
Yeah, okay.
No, follow me here. First of all, it is my house. So you can't make material changes to my house because it's mine. But this is what I said. I said, our whole life, you've been raising 5 kids. You've been dealing with debt and all that sort of stuff like that. You now are retired. You now at 62... have an opportunity to start anew. Why are you going to create more debt? I said, because one, I'm not paying for it because I see no need for it. Bathtub is just fine. There's a shower in there. So I'm not understanding why you want to do this. And so I said, you're not going to create more debt for yourself because this is an opportunity for you to make changes. That was about 10 grand I put into a credit card to my credit union account for that emergency fund. And I'm looking on the statement and I'm seeing nails. I'm seeing all kind of other stuff. And I see, and I go off. I said, that's not what the account was for. The point I'm making is I think we always talk about our kids, but we don't want to have this conversation with our brothers and sisters and our parents. When my brother wanted to buy they were going to buy a vehicle for their car, for their company. I knew the interest rate was going to be high. I said, fine. I will loan you the money. You can pay for the. You're going to be paying a crazy amount of interest. And he didn't initially didn't want to do it, but I am thinking that way as opposed to, well, let it slide, because why should we allow our siblings and our parents to fall into debt and not say, no, you know what? You don't need that.
I agree. And you brought, as you were talking, Roland, what you brought up is if we. you know, if we knew better, we would do better. And sometimes the buck has to stop here. So often what we learn is from our parents. And if what I know to be true is that's where we get our values from. That's where we get our habits around money from. And so then we take those same, that live, it's that day to day. That's what we're rolling. We're talking about mindset. We're talking about getting it now. But here's the other thing I want to say in your parents' defense, and not my parents, and everybody's defense, is what we have to recognize is this is a system, and this system has been designed for us to buy now and pay later. In fact, if you look at the fact that the wealth gap is widening, the reason it's widening is because we're all servicing all these debt, and all the wealthy people are getting wealthier because that's who we're paying. And so what we're going to need to do is change the mindset, right?
We're talking about mindset here when it comes to money, folks. Give me a call, 888-669-2281, 888-669-2281, right here on The Roland Martin Show.
This is The Roland Martin Show on the Empowerment Radio Network.